unique privilege of kissing the song leader here. This is kind of neat. Okay, wonderful. Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, if you would. And while you're turning to Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to pour myself a cup of water here, if you don't mind. Is this cup half full or half empty? Half full, most of you say that's good. Some people might say it's half empty, and some might say it's half full. It's just a matter of what you're thinking, what's your attitude. So some people in life think, you know, they're half full, and some think they're half empty. Your attitude determines the answer, doesn't it? And what is attitude? It is your outlook or the way you look at life in particular situations. You know, the most important concern for all of us is our attitude toward our Heavenly Father. How do you approach Him? What kind of frame of mind, attitude do you have when you come before the Heavenly Father? You know, you and I are sons of God, aren't we? Born again of God's Spirit. We have Christ in us. Got Christ in us. So maybe our attitude might be, hey, I've got Christ in us and God's right around here. And man, I better be careful and be religious and everything because God's watching me and I better be a good boy. You know, we might have that attitude. Or maybe we would have the attitude, it is Christ in me. God's around. He knows what I'm doing. I have Him to look to. And hey, this is great. This is exciting because I have a wonderful relationship with God Almighty. I am automatically, as a son of God, qualified to receive every blessing God has provided in His wonderful plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. I choose, don't I? It's my choice. I make the choice, and I have the attitude of either I'm going to have a positive attitude, knowing it's Christ in me, or no, I don't. I'll be religious because God's watching and I better be good and be fearful of God. So I'd rather be positive and have a good attitude, right? I need my wonderful wife to assist me here. See, as believers, we're not half full, but we're full to really overflowing all the time, right? Christ in us is always overflowing in us. So, because of the perfect price of Christ's redemption for us, you and I are righteous before God. We have His full redemption. And what I want to say here is very key, this next statement. So listen carefully. If you're taking notes, God's total forgiveness and total acceptance of the believer produces a clean and clear conscience that allows us to walk with the Father, having joy and rejoicing, being blessed and happy in the wisdom of God. Now, I know that's a mouthful, but think about it. God's total forgiveness. We have His total forgiveness. We have His total acceptance. When He looks at us, He's not looking at the negative part, the fear, anything. He sees the Christ in us. He sees us as just a wonderful believer, a wonderful saint, a great person. And with that in mind, and you realize that, your conscience can be clear and clean and allows you to walk with the Heavenly Father with great joy and rejoicing. Really, doesn't it? Sure does. Sure does. Now, you're in Colossians chapter 2 by now, I hope. You found it. Chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "For in Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Verse 10, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in Christ. You're completely, completely, absolutely complete. Does that mean you're missing something? No. No, you have the fullness of Christ, God in Christ in you. That's pretty big. And with that in mind, consciously thinking about that day by day, moment by moment, can you be blessed? Can you be happy? Yes, yes, you can. Remember a few Sundays ago, and Jeannie mentioned this about Barney's teaching on the pursuit of happiness. And the pursuit of happiness is the realization of that is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is knowing you are filled with God's righteousness, his forgiveness, his love, his mercy, his grace, and I can go on and on and on, and then living it, and living it, manifesting it. God wants us to know so we can do it. He wants us to know that we're righteous before him, that we have his full forgiveness. Why? Because he wants us to walk before him, to have that great attitude of walking as a wonderful believer, son of God. Look in the verse 2 here. Your chapter 2 of Colossians, verse 2 says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of some of assurance of understanding. No, it says what? The full assurance of understanding. Full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where it's at, folks. If anybody in this room is looking for the answer is in Jesus Christ and his Father. Why? Because it's in him hid all the treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. That's it, folks. So we're in the right place, and we're looking to the right person. What's our attitude as we look? What's our attitude? That's what we're talking about today, is our attitude. By our free will, we choose. We choose the attitude that we're going to have in any situation. It's your attitude, not your aptitude, that determines your altitude in life. How you perceive situations and how you let either the world or the Word of God influence you affects your attitude. Are we word conditioned or are we world conditioned? That's the challenge we have. That's the challenge we have. Sometimes the only thing separating us from the limitless possibilities in God are our attitudes. You know, our attitude determines many times the outcome of any situation. It really does. There's a story about this man that was walking down the street, and he sees this young boy with a ball, baseball, and a bat. And he's got this ball, and he says, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he gets the ball, throws it up, and he swings, and he misses it. So the second time, he picks up the ball, and he says, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he throws it up, and he swings, and he misses again. You know, and he gets more determined. Doggone it, he says, I am the greatest hitter in the world. And he throws it up, misses it. And then he says, you know what? I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. What a great attitude, huh? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Turn back several pages. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. This is a focal verse here that we can learn from. Chapter 4, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, instead in the word, it doesn't say be renewed in your mind. It's emphasizing in the spirit of your mind, in the innermost being of your mind. The encouragement of God's word is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is the great exhortation of God's word. And this reflects really our attitude. Because what is it talking about in the previous scripture? It talks about that we put off concerning the former conversation, right? It says put off. Put off that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. We put it off and, verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then what's the next step? Then put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's what we do. We're renewed in the spirit of our mind. We in our inner mind say, yes, I'm going to put off this old man and his attitudes, and I'm going to put on the new man created in righteousness. Wow, what a great attitude of mind to have. Your attitude determines what you're going to manifest in life. Who are you going to be each and every moment of the day? Are you going to be a son of God with power? Or are you just going to be one of 6 billion people that are struggling in life? You choose. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you got a great opportunity to choose walking with the renewed mind, realizing who you are in Christ. You know, I know we live in a society that if there's any, you know, physical problems or whatever, we just, you know, the doctors kind of say, here, take this pill, right? We're in a pill society, take this and that. So I would like to give you at this time some attitude pills, all right? So here's some attitude pills, and I'd like to ask some of you to turn to these scriptures. Like Susan, would you turn to Romans 8:31, please? And then Shati, Romans 8:37. And then Rebecca, 2 Corinthians 2:14. And Susie, James 1:17. And the rest of you can turn to Hebrews chapter 13. All right, these are going to be some of our little attitude pills here, okay? So everybody turns to Hebrews 13, and I'm going to have our volunteers here stand up and read their verse, okay? I'm going to get close so we can get you recorded here.
Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Who can be against us? It's God's for us, and we've already won the game, right? So we want to swallow those and then manifest that. What do we have in Romans 8:37?
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Right, we're more than conquerors. Is God a liar in his word? No, that's true. We're more than conquerors. So if I renew my mind in the spirit of my mind and act like that, then I'm going to feel pretty good, right? God's on my side. I'm more than a conqueror. What else? Boy, these are great pills. Not hard to swallow, are they?
2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place.
Is it sometimes or always? Always, always. And then in James 1:17, what do we got there, Susie?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Right. Wow. Perfect gifts come from God. No variableness, no shadow of turning. Wow, those are great pills, huh? Well, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I think a familiar verse to some of you. And hopefully it'll be a familiar verse to all of us for the rest of our life as we take a look at it and remember it. So verse 5 of chapter 13 in Hebrews, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow, never leave us nor forsake us. That's our Heavenly Father. Now again, people might have the attitude of, uh-oh, God's not going to leave me or forsake me. He's going to watch my every move. Oh my golly, I got to be careful what I do. No, what kind of attitude should we have? Well, let's read the next verse. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Wow. What a great attitude to have. And why not? Why not? Why succumb to the worldly fears and live with the attitude that the world offers? Look what the Word offers. Man, oh man. Pretty neat. I want to look at two sections in God's Word that will help us build our attitude, okay? So that we can boldly say that God is my helper and I will not fear what man will do to me. So we're going to do this first in Colossians. We're going to look at two sections. The first one is in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, and the text, the Greek is like past tense, we were, or since we were raised with Christ is how it really reads, because of this, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We seek those things which are above. Verse 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Boy, but I still want that Porsche. I really need that Porsche. No? Set your affections on things above. And I tell you what happened. God loves you. He wants you to be blessed. Don't be surprised you don't get the Porsche. Really? No. But our affection's not on the things of this world. They're on the Father. And then a good, loving Heavenly Father, what do? We just give our kids everything. I was at a birthday party yesterday. And Brenna has everything. Her folks love her. And she's going to be well taken care of. See, and God loves us too, right? So we should have that attitude and put our affections on things above. That word affection is thoughts in the Greek. It's the thoughts of the mind. Put our thoughts on things above. And why would we do this? The next verse says, for you are dead. We better read on here. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. See? As far as God's concerned, this physical aspect of our life, it's dead. But our life is hid with Christ in God. With Christ, when Christ, verse 4, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Isn't that neat? That's what we have to look forward to. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. You know, our thoughts, remember, translate into attitudes. We want to keep our focus, our vision on the Heavenly Father. Hebrews 10, verse 22. This is great instruction in having a right attitude. Verse 22, chapter 10, Hebrews, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith or of believing. Great encouragement here. Let's draw near with a true heart, full assurance. Just no doubts. We have full assurance of believing. Now, how do we do that? Because having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Boy, if you have an evil conscience, boy, all kinds of negative things are going to happen, right? And having our bodies washed with pure water. What this verse is saying is our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's why we can draw near with a true heart in full assurance of believing, because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience. Maybe you don't understand. What does it mean to be sprinkled? Well, this refers to the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ, remember, was the ultimate sacrifice. And a great explanation of that here in the Bible, chapter 9. Maybe turn back a page or two, but we'll come right back. But in chapter 9, verse 13 and 14 will help us understand this sprinkling so that we can really believe it. 9:13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, this is what they did in the Old Testament. They sacrificed the animals. They would take the blood, the ashes, they burn, they sprinkle, and the sprinkling of the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. In God's eyes, this represented that you were pure before Him. No sin, no condemnation. It's done. Forgiveness of sins. We've made the sacrifice. This is the representation, this blood of this bull, this goat. We sprinkle you. You should feel really good now because you've been, before God's eyes, taken care of. Now look at the next verse. Put this in perspective. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Boy, when you understand this in the depth of your heart, this will purge your conscience from all the negative dead work junk, so that you can serve the living God. Ultimately, that's what life is worth living for, is to serve the living God, the living God. Isn't that neat? Okay, let's go back so we can understand this verse 22 in chapter 10. Because we want to draw near with a true heart, full assurance of believing, because our hearts have been sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, you know, they would bring the cleanest sacrifices, the animals, they'd wash them up. The cleanest, purest animals to sacrifice. And of course, Jesus Christ was what? Without spot. He was the perfect sacrifice. And see, when we understand that, and you keep your head in the Word, and you see this reality over and over again, you come before God with full assurance of believing. Man, you can believe God real big. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our believing. Really, the word faith there is not pistis, or, you know, a related word to that. It's the word for hope. Hope. So, and the word profession really is confession. So this verse says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What's our hope, man? We come near to God. We have full assurance of believing, knowing that, you know, by the blood of Jesus Christ, we just have no sense of evil condemnation thinking in our mind. And we hold fast to that confession without wavering. Why? Because He is faithful that promised. This word is more faithful than any man or woman ever that ever lived on the face of this earth. See, and that's where we can start getting convinced about what it says in God's Word. You know, I know we haven't come there. I haven't arrived. But boy, we sure just move in that direction, don't we? We move in that direction. We renew in the spirit of our mind continuously so that we get to that point. Verse 24 says, and let us consider one another, we consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. Now that's kind of an interesting word, to provoke, because we use it many times, in a negative fashion. Our little brother, my big brother, would provoke me all the time. He'd tease me and mess around. He'd provoke me and get me all upset. The word provoke here, again in the Greek, is the word that means to sharpen by rubbing against something. We use the term iron sharpeneth iron. That's exactly what this is talking about. This is how we do it. We consider one another to sharpen. I want you to be sharp. I want you to be sharp in what? The love of God, the agape love of God, and to good works. It says in Ephesians 2:10, I think, that we are created, we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto all good works. That's what we're designed with the Spirit of God in us. So that's why we do these things. We provoke each other to love and good works. We're sharp with each other. That's such a neat verse there. So this is the attitude we should have one for another. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Well, let's work on our attitude, okay? Because that makes a big difference, doesn't it? We get up in the morning and it's Monday and got to go to work and stuff. Or we can get up Monday and say, hey, I'm a son of God. I am a son of God. I've got the hope of Christ's return. Hey, we're going to have a great day. So, I'm kind of my concluding remarks here in light of this sharing. Take your attitude pills daily. All right? Take your attitude pills daily, more than three times a day. Get the word. You're more than a conqueror, right? Keep remember that. God has caused us to triumph in all things in Christ. If God be for us, who can be against us? God will never leave us nor forsake us. We're complete in Him. We can say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We choose our attitude. We want to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And we don't want to choose that old man. We've got the opportunity to be the old man, but we want to put him off and be that new man. And remember Colossians. We just looked at it. Set your thoughts, your affections on things where? Above. Because you're dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we're going to be right there too with Him in glory. Remember in Hebrews, let us draw near to our Heavenly Father with a true heart, with full assurance, knowing that we have been fully forgiven, right? We are fully clean and acceptable before Him. So we hold fast to our confession of our hope, because we're sons of God. We know our Father is faithful who's promised. So we stay sharp with one another, right? We're provoking each other to love and to good works. And I would like to close in verse 25. I hope you're still in Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. The gathering of the saints is so vital, so important. Boy, I just wish believers could see how big and vital it is, not only for their lives, but for the lives of others, because we affect each other. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Christ is coming back anytime. He's coming back. That day's approaching. So why not live like this? Why not have the wonderful attitude of a son of God with power? Okay? So I got some great hope for you tomorrow when you get up. Your bosses are going to go, what happened to him this weekend? What did she do? Why not? You know, we only have one life to live, and to live it for him who has saved us and called us to his family. Pretty neat. Well, Father, we sure love you and sure grateful that you have done so much that all we need to do is receive it, to recognize who we are in Christ and just get our mind in order. Just have the right attitude and choose to believe you. Choose to know that we are sons of God with power, with the hope of Christ's return at any moment. So, Father, I pray for this family of believers here, for their hearts continuing to learn and to grow and to see the greatness of the great truths of your word and then to live it and to share it with others. So I pray for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, okay? We got wonderful...